Why are you running?
I'm running because I think one of the biggest challenges we have right now in our country is that there's a complete breakdown of trust between our elected officials and our citizens. I hear that from residents across the district and the state, that it used to be people thought, you know, I don't necessarily trust, you know, politicians. But now it's an instance where they have actual evidence, you know, within the latest spate of scandals from the Obama administration, be it what happened with the IRS, the incompetence and lack of accountability within the VA, the attempted cover-up in the aftermath of the incident in Benghazi, and then, of course, Obamacare, where people like to debate policy. They have no problem with that. They can understand if people have opposing views, but when you foist something upon the American people based on a false premise and sold on basically lies, that's really problematic. So when I talk to people, that's their major concern. They just don't trust their government. So I'm trying to be, you know, an authentic voice, let people know how I feel about issues, where I stand, what I'll seek to do for them, and really bring a new perspective to Washington.
Now let's talk about some of the those specific issues you are hearing from people mm-hmm. when you are on the campaign trail. What are their top issues? What are their top concerns?
Jobs and the economy, as it would be expected, is the of primary concern, then healthcare, education. But again, it's one thing to talk about, you know, policy and, you know, which way would you like to go, you know, with these issues. But their concern is that control is just and decision-making power is being taken away from them, and that the government is centralizing control in D.C. and isn't necessarily responsive to their unique needs, you know, as New Hampshire citizens and as a state as a whole. So that's what I hear. So they're concerned about those issues, but they're really concerned about the way things are being brought about.
Now, this district has not traditionally elected conservatives on social issues. Does that worry you at all?
It doesn't worry me because I think people are very open. You know, on any issue, there's a huge range in the middle where people actually agree, you know, from both sides of the aisle, you know, within each political party. In the middle, Americans have a lot of agreement. The way to get past that is to talk about it in a way that isn't off-putting to people and get them to understand that, you know, this is my opinion, and just be honest and upfront. So, you know, I have an extensive voting record here in the state, so it's, you know, it's no surprise that I'm conservative. But, you know, I'd like people to know that I'm there to listen. You know, I have my views, and I just want to seek to represent New Hampshire as best I can.
Your opponent has criticized you for votes that you have missed during your time in the House, specifically missing a vote on Medicaid expansion, mm-hmm. Which you did speak out against. How do you respond to that?
Well, I've served four terms as a state legislator, and, you know, we are a volunteer legislature, and, you know, it's no excuse. I'm sorry I missed any votes whatsoever, but I did work, you know, a number of jobs and have been in grad school and things like that. So it's a challenge. And overall, I have an above average voting record and attendance record. So I'm proud of what I was able to accomplish. Sorry I missed some votes, but I think it's being used for, you know, to make political hay of it. It's not as though I have a shoddy voting record.
But you would say that was a fairly large vote.
Sure, sure. I was there through the committee process, voted on it in committee, and did speak to it. But things don't always pop up in the House according to any particular schedule. So sometimes, you know, there are other commitments one has to make.
You've been dubbed a rising star by the Republican National Committee and got some big PACs behind you in this campaign. What do you make of the national attention that you received? And does that have any impact on this race?
Name ID is an important component of a successful campaign. So to the extent, you know, media coverage helps me, then that's great. But really, in terms of the attention or, you know, accolades I've gotten for what I've tried to accomplish and work on, I would say to the extent it helps me get my message out there and, you know, expand the dialogue and, you know, bring another voice to the table on, you know, these issues that some are long term, some are upcoming in our country, then I appreciate that aspect of it.
Speaking of some long term issues, what's your take on the ongoing debate over immigration reform?
That's something that absolutely needs to be addressed. But again, with that, as with so many other issues, Americans right now and New Hampshire citizens, they feel as though, you know, their rights and American best interests aren't necessarily the first considerations that our elected officials are making. It's become a political football. It's become something where, as with, you know, healthcare, this approach of, you know, comprehensive reform is always put before us and rushed through the process. And, you know, when it's comprehensive, it means it's enormous in scope. And there are some good things that are actual targeted reforms. And then there are some things that, you know, some people simply can't support because they've campaigned that way. So you end up with a situation where people that vote for it are considered traitors and people that vote against it are seen as obstructionists. And then you have a do-nothing Congress, you know, like everybody likes to say. So I would love to try to be a part of targeted reforms to some of the very specific issues at hand.
Any specifics in that idea? I mean, any particular
sure.
things? What are some of the ideas
sure.
that you bring
well,
to the table?
You know, the first is, of course, I oppose amnesty because, you know, again, American citizens were born here. You know, they have that right. And then there are many, many people that have been dotting every I, crossing every T in terms of being here in a, you know, legal fashion and then going through process that we have for citizenship. But it's gotten out of hand and we can't, you know, all of a sudden, again, just because, you know, we have a humanitarian crisis or, you know, some sense of urgency to put other people at the front of the line. So everybody has to go, you know, to their proper place in the back of the line. And also to prevent, you know, things from another crisis from popping up, we absolutely have to secure our border. You know, when we don't have control as a sovereign nation of who's coming into our country, how can we expect to make any meaningful reforms?
Let's talk foreign policy for a moment. What's your opinion of the administration's actions in the Middle East?
It's obviously a constantly evolving situation, very complex, a lot of things at play. But I think to the extent that our president and the administration had more clarity about America's role in the world and what we're seeking to accomplish, I think we could be more of a stabilizing force as opposed to, I think, the approach we've taken that has exacerbated the problems. For example, last November, the president was asked about, did he think, you know, ISIS could potentially be an enormous threat in that area? And he sort of brushed it off and used one of his, you know, sports metaphors and sarcasm, you know, saying, I think it was to the extent of, just because someone puts on a, you know, a JV team puts on a Lakers uniform, that doesn't make them Kobe Bryant, you know, and then moved on. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, did we go into Iraq, you know, in the first place? Was that a good idea? Obviously, that's open to debate. Was the surge something that worked? People agree that it did. Was America war wary? Yes, it was. You know, we wanted our troops to come home. But when you just make it a political point, which I believe the president did, that, you know, he was going to bring everybody home, come hell or high water, that's just what was going to happen, then I think he's allowed the situation we're seeing today. There was a vacuum. There was not a status of forces agreement that was reached, and we left basically an unstable situation that's now turned into total chaos. And unfortunately, you know, though I think we're doing the right thing by, you know, the airstrikes and humanitarian aid to help, you know, those refugees in a very desperate situation, you know, their lives completely at risk. I do think that now when I hear, you know, military experts talking about it, they say, sadly, we may have to bring troops back there. And, you know, that's what we were trying to avoid in the first place.
That would be a very unpopular stance with most of the electorate. Obviously, many many people saying that they don't want, they're opposed to boots mm-hmm. back on the ground. Would that be something that you would be willing to authorize, vote for?
Again, I, unlike the president who says he does read about things in the news, I actually do. You know, so I don't have, you know, a host of, you know, military experts, foreign policy experts briefing me. And, you know, I'm just saying to the extent of what I hear, unfortunately, the situation as it is right now may require greater engagement from the U.S. So, you know, I would have to make such a decision, you know, with everyone else with the proper information at hand.
When you announced that you were running, you had said you wanted to bring diversity to a party that's populated with, this is your quote, mostly old white men. Why do you think that diversity has been really difficult to attain so far in the party?
Well, if I can first say that I was actually quoting what I think is a stereotype. So that isn't necessarily, you know, my thought of the party. And, you know, being a member of the party that's clearly not an old white man, it rings true, you know, to me more than probably anybody else. But, you know, I would say I think we've had a communication problem. You can only relate to people if you, you know, understand them, you know, share their perspective and are willing, you know, to talk about things in a not highly politicized fashion. And so that's, I've had that experience serving in the New Hampshire legislature where, you know, you actually go knock on doors and, you know, talk to people, you know, one-on-one about the issues that concern them. And I think in Washington, for whatever reason, you know, those that have been in the media the most or are highlighted saying, frankly, some very stupid things, it's created a very poor stereotype and perception. But the fact is there are many of us on the ground that, you know, promote the values and ideals of individual liberty, personal responsibility, small government, local control, and our voices just aren't necessarily being heard. So I would love to participate in helping to communicate and spread the message.
Marlinda Garcia, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you. Appreciate it.